All right, let's get her going here. The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. I'm Nick Kiprios. He's Justin Bourne. He's Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and Jen Rolnick in today for the next 2 hours.
Yes.
Terrific show for you coming up. We've got Kevin Shovel Dayoff, the general manager and the hottest team in hockey.
The Jets doing okay?
I think they're doing okay.
Okay.
We'll have him at the top of the hour on our national show. In the meantime, we are live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet, and Sportsnet Plus. Toronto Maple Leafs sweep the weekend of back-to-back. Friday night, Detroit, no problem. Saturday night, Montreal, no problem.
No problem.
And everything's okay.
Everything's hunky-dory again, JB.
It is. Before we get going, you mentioned Jen Rolnick's in there. She did a really good job. I brought my brother through here.
Yes, and it's his birthday as well, right, Jeff?
A big happy birthday to Jeff Bourne, my brother. His wife, Sarah Bourne, was in here as well, and their friend Julia. Jen put up the, what do you call it, a Chiron or a font or whatever. It said Jeff,
sure.
Birthday boy.
And I've only...
There's words on the screen is what I mean.
A bumper?
I don't know. Is that it?
I don't know.
And he was very excited.
I could be in this business for 50 years, and I don't know what the heck you're talking about.
A name key.
I think it's... Is Chiron not right?
No, I don't think so. Jen? Somebody.
Name key is what I'm getting.
Name key.
Anyway, she threw up a name key for him. It's pretty cool. So happy birthday to my brother. Great to have him in Toronto. Oh, Chiron is the machine that makes the keys. Don't listen to me.
Holy. Red hot start.
Now, is he a Leaf fan?
Isles, right?
Isles?
He's all in on the Isles. Or Vancouver.
He needs a Canadian favorite team.
He'd be a Canucks guy.
More Canucks than the Leafs.
Yeah.
So what would he have thought about the Leafs winning on the weekend?
He's a courtesy supporter, but, I think anyone watching the Leafs at this point has to be a little bit encouraged, right? I mean, this is a team that last year against Atlantic Division teams were below 500. How do you expect to win your division if you're below 500 in your own division? This year they're off to a 4-1-1 start in their division. These are not the best teams they beat. You've got to beat these teams. They hadn't been doing that under Sheldon Keefe in previous years.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was pretty shocking how bad the Red Wings and Habs are, especially the Red Wings.
Wings you lump in with the Montreal.
They're not in the same class, but I think they're definitely way below expectations in terms of where you thought they'd be at this point. But that's been a huge complaint of all of ours, is how many points they've wasted against teams worse than them. And you went into, against Boston, who is a team that's worse than them right now, beat them. And then you take 4 points from Montreal and the Red Wings over Hall of Fame weekend. It's looking pretty good. Mm-hmm.
What also helps is when you get real steady goaltending.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And, there's a few different directions we can go to start off our Leaf Hour edition. But eventually we'll get to Austin Matthews and that incredible, Austin Matthews run that they've been on.
Mm-hmm.
But where do you want to go first in terms of just wrapping up the weekend?
I think it's Austin Matthews.
You want to talk about
right out of the get-go?
Sure. And then let's do the PowerPoint. But okay. Because that's right. Related to Matthews.
So you want to just rip off a couple of stats where the Leafs are with Austin Matthews in the lineup and where they are without him.
Well, without him.
Well, that's I think a relevant note here. Go ahead.
Without him, the Toronto Maple Leafs have won 7 straight games and are 40-19-2.
Mm-hmm.
The Maple Leafs are 11-26 on the power play in their last 5 games without Austin Matthews and is operating a 30.9% clip on the power play without Matthews since 2016.
Mm-hmm.
That don't make no sense.
Yeah.
We're
sitting here doing this like it's, it is crazy that they've done so well, but I will say, 40-19, their record, their winning percentage over that time is not too different than that.
Yeah.
It's above their winning percentage, but not by a ton. They kind of beat up some tomato cans here.
For sure.
This past little stretch.
Yeah.
And then, I do think that there's an element of, pick the team up. He's not in. We got to do this. And then the power play to me is the only place it's super relevant, where it's like that tangibly changes how people think and feel and how it looks. And I think there's something important to pull out of that. That, to me, is worth finding.
Yeah. And just on that note, Mitch Marner, it's completely changes Mitch Marner as well.
On the power play or generally?
Start on the power play,
yeah.
Right? Where we've seen him lost in a bumper position. Now all of a sudden he's found himself most often than not walking the blue line. Mm. Does he, no way to gauge where he's going to go with the puck, disguises it as well as anybody. Mm-hmm. And like he's also on the power play, but in general, a different player with Austin. His mm-hmm. numbers are actually better.
Is that not justification to you to say, can we have these guys do this without each other and push them on separate lines?
I think there's something to be said that for sure. Yeah. His points are up. Like it's just, he can carry himself.
Yeah.
Without Austin.
Yeah.
And
yeah, for sure. He's been super good. I think the power play is an interesting, you know, discussion of what about if they go back to how they were when they were almost rookies, when Marner ran it from the right side on the power play and Austin caught and released on his offhand. Is there something there? Like Marner overall is a tremendous player. His guy has gotten, yeah, you know, votes for all sorts of awards and we know what he can do. No one has ever said Marner can't do it against Detroit in game 15. No one's ever said that. You know, that's not, I'm not shocked he's killing it. But
the whole team's killing it without him.
Yeah.
And so what, they're different, they tighten up, they want to get him the puck more. Subconsciously, the focus is about him when he's on the ice, shooting the puck.
I mean, they've played three games without him. And I think, you know, we'd be fools to make too big a deal of it. They've beat a team in Boston that's probably going to fire their coach and then two non-playoff teams.
No, this is over his career. The record with the... If you broke it down, the only one that it matches up is like they're a worse team with Mitch out of the lineup, and statistically they're a better team with Austin out.
And Riley, they're really good.
And Nylander. Like it's
so they're better with all of them. They should play with none of them.
Weird. It's just
imagine how good they'd be.
Listen, it's just odd.
Yeah,
it'd be 2015.
It's just odd.
It is, Kip. But the same, you know, we're talking about a 60 game over the career, and three quarters of these games were in Austin's first 2 years. You know, we were hyping up this record. These are games from 2016-17 when it's Kadri, Bozak.
So I'm not trading him or sending him down to the Marlies. Yeah.
I know, but like I've heard this conversation on several different...
Good thing Patches got it hurt so they can get him back in the lineup when he's healthy.
I've heard several interviews with this Matthews thing, people being like, boy, yeah, they're pretty good with him out, just like we did with Riley out last year. And
38-19
like,
is
significant.
38-19 and 2 is really...
40.
Is it?
40-19 and 2.
Yeah, because they won the last two games.
Yeah,
but I mean, like I said, a lot of this is when they're younger or when he's in his earlier days. And I guess my question is, what's your point?
Yeah. Odd that it's really odd.
Do you have any theories?
The only one I can come up with is that they overemphasize getting in the puck.
So then how do they correct that with him in the lineup and maintain?
Maybe it's Austin that needs the correcting.
Okay. Go ahead.
I don't know. Just like they are, and I've been on this for a long time. They don't pass the puck as well as I think they should.
Mm-hmm.
And they've moved it pretty good in the last little while. It's just small, but again, the other thing is you know, I look at, I know they're shooters. I get that they're shooters, mm-hmm. but as a number one centerman, I want Austin to pass the puck more. I want, Austin should be passing it to Marner for tap-ins in the empty net, not David Kampf, right? So I don't know if Austin could consciously make it a point to be more of a setup man than at times shooting from bad angles.
You're talking about asking Brett Hull or whatever to pass to Adam Oates. Like, does anyone think that's a better conclusion?
I think that this, to me, the way that Matt Marner has looked over the games without Matthews here and the way Matthews looked without Marner last year, very clear to me. That they're both can be separated.
Yeah.
Like Matthews played.
I think that's the best conclusion here. Is that they can drive their own lines.
You know how many Stanley Cups Adam Oates and Brett Hull won doing it their way, right?
Yeah, no, that's a fair point. If you don't think you can win like that, there's definitely. I'm on board with some sort of stylistic adjustment and not looking for a shot all the time. Absolutely, I think we're getting a little bit hyped up here over a small sample number. Mitch Marner's points per game the last 4 years, or points per 60, 3.9, 3.5, 3.5, 3.5. We're kind of where we've been. He's the player we know he is. He's a, you know, elite guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Matthews, obviously elite player, 106 points last year, whatever the exact number was. You know, some people want him to pass it more. I'm fine with him shooting in the net almost 70 times. Take your pick.
Okay, let's go to Craig Berube for our first Kippers Clipper this week on his power play without Austin Matthews.
Like we talked about, it's simplified. And they're attacking more downhill and getting pucks to the net area and getting rewarded for it right now, which is good to see. Yeah, they've done a good job.
And you like what you've seen from the power play?
Yeah, I think they've gotten a couple of breaks too. Couple of bounces, couple of seeing eye pucks that found their way to the net. It tends to balance out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think once you get Austin back as early as we think this week.
Doubtful for tomorrow.
I bet he doesn't play the next couple because it's back-to-back.
Eventually, you're going to have to find that same type of vibe with him in it.
You know, the one thing I'm totally fine with, and if you're looking towards the captain of the Toronto Maple Leafs to say, hey, you've been out. The power play is humming. Until it's not humming, you're going to run the second power play. I'm fine with that. I mean, it's not killer for two games to say, this is going really good. We're not going to disrupt it. We're trying to score goals in the power play. You assume Matthews, who has signed a long-term deal in the captain team, is in it for the good of the team.
What world are you living in that if this power play continues to stay pretty good for... Yeah. I don't know, the next 2-3 weeks, Austin's going to take the last 15 seconds of a power play.
But see, have you ever heard him say, I won't do that? Or like, they're a team trying to win games. He's the captain. He has a long-term deal.
Yeah.
You don't think he'll say, okay?
Yeah, no.
I'll get in when I can?
Well, he can say okay publicly, but behind the scenes, he's
I guess it depends where you get your information from, like who you're hearing.
Bean.
Yeah, I guess it depends where you get your
I'm not getting information. I know these guys. I know it. I've lived it. I've seen it.
Yeah.
You can talk about different eras. You can talk about the game's changed. That part will never change.
And I don't think he has to love it. I just think you have to say, you are the captain of this team. The goal for this team is to win. Here's what we're doing. Like, yeah. Would Berube not have the power to tell him?
The answer is you find it with him because that's what you committed $13.25 million
to. He's going to be on it. No one's saying he's not going to be, you know, it's round one, game three.
They don't have the patience to wait it out. They don't. They don't.
They don't have an option.
He has the option. He goes to them and says, you know, you want to see me drag my lip around here? He's the star player. He's a 70 goal scorer. Mm-hmm. Your job as a training or as a coaching staff is to find the right solution that includes him, not temporarily leaves him on the sidelines. It's just not reality. Now, you want to try a period, get, you know, half a game to your theory, but you're talking about something that may go a week, 10 days. Nah, I don't see it.
Yeah, it's so funny because, like, you know, we talk about how the teams that have won in the recent past are teams with a capital T. Yeah. You know, we remember watching the videos of Tampa Bay. Was it St. Louis that hit the guy or something? And all Tampa Bay, every guy in the ice had their gloves off chasing him around.
Yeah.
And Florida, you know, what a team, capital T team, you know, no one above the logo, all that stuff. But the Leafs are somehow, to you, get a different set of rules.
That's apples to oranges. Defending a teammate on the ice in that capacity and leaving Kucherov on the bench or Pasternak for a whole period, that stuff's going to come back and haunt Montgomery.
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't get blown off as being a good team guy. It just doesn't work that way when it comes to these stars. So... Anyways, I'm not...
They should get a hard-ass coach in. Someone who's able to tell them you're sitting on the bench. Someone with a real history.
Not such a player's coach that they got now.
Berube's that guy. He says that guy as much as anybody will ever
Sheldon
find.
Berube?
And he won't do that. Yeah. He won't leave Austin on the second unit while this one stays
obviously, it's not a long-term solution.
So, if you're looking at it right now, then... The way it's kind of gotten rolling here, and it's looked good, I think there's something to the fact that it's just off the schneid now, and you slide Matthews back in there, and it's just going to be a top 10 unit for the rest of the year. Like, I really do feel like there's a big yips element to it. And they finally started. I mean, look at how many of these plays are just broken plays and pucks landed on sticks in the sweet spot. And like
fake shot, like, backdoor.
Willie Nylander, that was not a power play goal. That's him skating through a bunch of fire pokers and shooting
Lane
it in
Hudson
the net.
Is spinning like, circles.
I think it's just sort of started to turn here. And I think there's a really great chance that just Austin Matthews comes back probably, let's say, Saturday night against the Edmonton Oilers on Hockey Night in Canada. Mm-hmm. First penalty, you know,
Zach
Hyman, 2 minutes for hooking.
Yeah.
34 is probably hopping over, Barney.
I think you're right. So I think people misconstrue me saying, here's what I think will happen versus here's what I think should happen.
Yeah.
I think he'll be there.
It's just, I think that there's just like a, they've been better. Their numbers look great. Mm-hmm. But I really do think there's been a lot of element of just regulating and luck to them getting so hot on the power play.
Like they scored on the power play before he got hurt. Yeah. Passed to Nylander.
It is funny though that it's just they couldn't score on the power play and then they couldn't score 5-on-5. They only score power play goals for 2 games in a row. It's just, it's a funny sport. Anyways.
Okay, where do you guys want to go? You want to go Timmins, defense, penalty kill, Tavares?
What do you like?
Matthews.
Dealer's choice.
Let's talk about the blue line a little bit, because as much as maybe Montreal had time in the ozone on Saturday night, I don't think they really got a decent sniff.
No.
To get themselves back in the game. And, Connor Timmins again, standing pretty strong. Won't give up that spot, boys.
Yeah.
It's his right now to lose. So let's go to Craig Berube on Connor Timmins.
Well, he's been highly competitive for one thing, with his defensive play. That's key, but makes plays with the puck. He sees the ice really well. I think on breakouts, he hits the middle of the ice quite a bit. And then, tonight he used his shot and scored. But he's got a good shot. But just overall, I think it's, his competitiveness is what's, really stands out to me for me, like defending and winning battles and breaking pucks out under pressure, things like that. So that's a thing that stands out for me.
He really likes a lot of stuff that I don't think Connor Timmins was known for prior to Craig Berube, hey?
Well, Timmins came in and he was in a bit of a clump with about 3 or 4 other guys, including Myers, mm-hmm. including Hawk and Pa.
Lilligren's
out. Benning's in. Benning's
waived.
On waivers. Yeah. He'll go down to the Marlies as the 8th defenseman. Mm-hmm. Hockenpah's the 7th defenseman. And Connor Timmins is locked in right now at 6.
Do you think when Hockenpah comes back, what do you do? Because Hockenpah's a right shot guy. Timmins has been tough to take out.
Yeah.
His ice time has gone up. He's almost 18 minutes last game. Like, they clearly
there might
something.
Be a game or a loss where it's a little easier to go up to him and say, you're a healthy scratch tonight.
Yeah.
And you got to get Hockenpah in. You got to see what he looks like, what the knee feels like after a game. You didn't come this far to just leave Hockenpah out there to sit there and not get a test.
Mm-hmm.
So I probably think Timmins is the likely guy to come out, a right shot for a right shot. But you might, to your point earlier, minus the power play example,
mm-hmm.
just wait. We might have to wait till it cools off a little bit.
Yeah, it's the one thing with Timmins that's scary, has always been scary, is games played, right? His ability to stay healthy. If you look back, like, man, he never plays a full season. Last year, 25 games. Year before that, 25 games. 2021, 31 games. Year before that, 40 games. Year before that, 36 games. This guy hasn't played a 41st hockey game since 2017.
And the reason why Dallas just didn't make a longer-term commitment to him.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm talking with Timmins. That's Timmins.
Oh, Timmins. I'm sorry. I thought you were saying Hockenpah.
No, Timmins hasn't played any significant time either. So, yeah, hopefully he's able to.
He is playing different, Timmins. Like, Berube's got him playing different. I think he's making better judgments on when to go, when not to go, when to be aggressive, when not. Like, he's found a way to limit his mistakes.
Yeah.
And maybe that's going to limit his ability to stay, you know, healthy.
It's funny when you look at the type of player he is. It's like he's 6'3" and he works really hard. He skates really well. He has good offensive instincts. Like, there's tons to like. Maybe with some consistent play, this is a guy who's he's in there in playoffs. I don't know.
I have to say, you look at the Leafs D-core in general, and I think that having the top four of what they have here with Riley, Ulrichman, Larson, Tanev, McCabe, whatever order you want to put it in, this is kind of what it's supposed to be like when you have an NHL team where you have the four solid guys where you just worry about the bottom half of your D-core, where it's like, oh, yeah, Timmins can mix in, or Benoit, or Hakanpää.
Whoever's going, we'll put
him in. Whoever, you just kind of worry about the top four, the guys who are going to play the most amount of ice. And they've done an unbelievable job. Like, they really, I mean, it's got two goals in the last three games against. The high danger chances, all this stuff against them. Like, they're really doing a great job defensively. Yeah. So,
And when it does break down,
they're getting saves.
You're getting saves that you haven't seen really.
I mean, ever? I've never seen a goalie make a barehanded save. So,
long time.
You were there on
Friday night.
How was it?
It's good. Yeah. It's good. It's fun to watch live hockey again.
Any different impressions on the?
Yeah, a few things. I thought Marner is unbelievable.
Yeah. I will say every time I'm there in person, that's a takeaway.
Yeah, Marner's unbelievable live. Willie's unbelievable live. Thought McMahon just that the thing he was really praising the third line after Friday
that's
night.
A good long shifts for sure. In their own zone. But
they play on the callback goal. Yes. Right. McMahon drove wide.
I see McMahon's size live. God, like, just hammer somebody. Mm-hmm. Like, run into somebody. Use the size, man. Like, he's so big and so fast, and he just pulls up so often. So that was my three big takeaways. And that crowd in the lower bowl, pretty brutal. Yeah. Pretty brutal. I don't want to do it, but, like, I was with some degenerates. They're trying to get goalies go chance going, and everybody's just staring at their phone. Friday night, man. Let's go here.
They're still doing business.
Still trying to cut deals to pay, like, for those suckers.
People are looking up at us like we're got holes in our heads because we're peasants. Go Leafs go. It's like, good Lord. What's going on here? Anyways, those are my big takeaways. And all the people that came up to me and say they love the show.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I was like Brad Pitt down there. I must have had 15 people come up to me. It was unbelievable. Man, it was unbelievable. So, yeah. Anyways.
But the defense is like a notable thing, right? Like it just... talking to Bunk earlier today, he was saying, like, watching Chris Tanev is like when you're out of a bad relationship and then you get in a good one, you're like, wait, it's supposed to be like this? Like, this is so easy. He just blocks shots. He breaks the puck out. It feels safe with him out there. He's been tremendous, and the team as a result is as tight as they've been defensively in some time.
Yeah, like, they've allowed the second least 5-on-5 goals against this season.
Awesome.
With 21 behind the Dallas Stars, who let 19. So they're second in the league in goals against 5-on-5 this year.
Anything worth noting on Berube or Tree Living on Austin Matthews?
He's got a strong defense clip if you want to hear him on that to put a bow on what we just talked about, clip 5.
Let's do it.
We're really doing a good job in the slot area, and we're heavy down low in our zone. You know, our D are doing a great job of killing plays, and our forwards are protecting the middle of the ice really well, and that's key. And, you know, that's what you got to do.
That's what you got to do.
That's about it. So, yeah, it's like low event hockey. That Detroit game was not a thrill ride.
No, it was not.
And I'm sorry, but Montreal was, like, I can appreciate, like, the Leafs gaining confidence and the power play and all of that, but how do you really know for sure when that team was awful?
Man.
Like, to me, it was as soft as I've seen a team in 10 years.
And that's crazy, Kip. And it's like, there's some hubris involved that they're not changing anything. They're just doing what they think
works. They had a big win today. They went 7-5 with the Sabres.
Oh, man.
Which I like both Buffalo. Both teams deserve to lose today.
I know. Two L's. Right? We're going to award your points. We're going to distribute the 2 points amongst the league.
I'm scared for Hab fans.
Like, it doesn't feel like they're better next year.
Not next year. Not this year they could finish in the bottom, and next year they could finish bottom five again next year.
What's the route here?
What's the path to better?
I don't know. I don't know. But, like, you got to start wondering, too, not that this is the Habs hour on our show, but, like, is that the right core to lead? Are they front-line guys?
No, it's not.
Is Suzuki a number one centerman eventually on a cup-contending team?
He's definitely a great number two centerman.
Okay.
You know, like, he's a number one centerman in the NHL, but on the 16 teams trying to win a cup, probably not.
Cole Caulfield scored two more power play goals.
Yeah, he might get today. 50 this year. He might.
But like, 5-on-5, I don't notice him 5-on-5.
No.
I notice him when he's waiting off the post on the power play and he gets to one-time one in. Mm-hmm. Like, that's noticeable. But Saturday night, he was nowhere to be found. They got a lot of money in a lot of these kids, and I'm not seeing where the promised land is right now with this group.
Can I ask you your thoughts on the Domi Savard thing? I think it was at the end of the second period, right? Where Domi and Savard have been tied up early in the game. He cross-checked Domi, and then they get into the little scrum there, and Domi gets his gloves off, and Savard kind of looks at him funny. Yeah. Like, should eligible to be fought there?
I like David Savard, and you know, I'm watching him and his team, and I'm going, like, does a 34, 35-year-old defenseman with, I don't know, 800-900 games under his belt have to be the guy to go get Max? And I'm looking at all these young kids with big contracts mailing it in all night, and I'm going to go fight Max Domi?
Isn't he the hard-nosed D? Like, I saw him in that moment. I'm like, they're down three. It's hockey night in Canada. It's, you know.
Getting embarrassed.
One of the other guys wants to. That, to me, seemed like prime.
Listen, I'm not saying that you're wrong on the surface, but I've also seen scenarios where it's like, if you don't give a crap and you don't give a crap and you don't give a crap, why should I go give a crap?
Not putting my nose on the line to watch us lose 4-0.
I'm 34. I can still be in demand. I'm out of here by March. I'll go to a contending team. What do I have to go and fight Max Domi on a night that I know we ain't winning and I know you guys are no-shows? That's the way it works.
Once a team hits that point, isn't that death? You know, once you're looking around at the other team, guys going, if he's not, I'm not. And then you're all dead.
I saw it Saturday night. I'd be really worried right now.
Yeah.
I saw it Saturday night. Like, you are a young team. A lot of you guys have already been paid already.
Mm-hmm.
Slavkovsky's 20 next year, and he's making $8 million. Hey. And you go into Toronto on a Saturday night, coast-to-coast hockey night in Canada, and that's what you bring, you guys? You should be ashamed of yourselves.
Let me do some role-playing here. I'll be Kent Hughes, and you guys be Brad Treliving. Hey, Brad, I have this guy, Slavkovsky, first overall pick. He's had a little bit of a slow start to his career, but he scored 20 goals, lots of promise. Would you give us Matthew Knies for him? What is the response?
Yeah, I'm doing it.
You're doing it?
I mean, his pedigree, he's his first overall pick. It just happened. He's a huge guy.
No chance. I laugh him off the phone. Hang up.
I'm not giving up Knies for Slavkovsky.
Agree. Like, I'm sorry.
But it's never going to happen. It's just like, but like, you think you've got your answer for that. And I hope Slavkovsky turns out to be this power forward that can, you know, look like, you know, Kevin Stevens in his heyday in Pittsburgh, or, you know, John LeClair type. Yeah. But I'm not sure how much true finish he has to be a top scorer, but a good power grinder.
The example I used to you guys in our group chat about it was when Anaheim was doing their big rebuild, and it was like they had Max Jones and Sam Steele and Ricard Raquel, and who was the Z one? Wasn't there a
Zegras?
Zellweger? No, anyway, there's another way. Anyway, they it was
Owen
like
Zellweger. Is that a guy?
I don't know. Yeah. But it's like you always think. When you have young players, it's like the core is coming. The core is coming. Sometimes the core is not good enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Buffalo had how many versions of their core that didn't pan out? And it's like, there's a lot of red flags there. Anyway, too much Montreal talk.
Listen, not to get ahead of ourselves, but Ottawa's coming in tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're not much far off in terms of the mindset that they should have in coming to play a top team like Toronto right now.
Yep.
Where it's like, boys, you got the stage. It's a big stage. You want to stay on the path of credibility. Go in there and fight fire with fire with your hockey club. You know, your young guns.
Mm-hmm.
They're all signed up. They've got their money right now. So what's left? Go out there and show it. I'm hoping that Ottawa can come in tomorrow night and at least try to match and push the Toronto Maple Leafs back. The Montreal just refused to even try.
Ottawa actually reminds me of previous versions of Toronto where it's like there's Brady Tkachuk and then who they don't have much bite there amongst these young guys that are their next wave of guys, whether it's Sanderson or Shabbat on the back end or Drew or Stutzler or Batherson or Norris. Or
So big story from the game on Saturday, and we'll get into it a little bit with our doctor correspondent after the break.
Yeah.
Max Pacioretty goes down with a unidentified hammy leg something injury.
Which was really
odd.
A strange one because he got cross-checked from behind. And
it's almost like he
reached
for the back of his leg.
Someone like caught their toe of the skate underneath him on a previous play, not right where it happened. I don't think it happened at the moment he was done.
So, Berube clips 7 on losing Pacioretty, and listen to the tone of his voice when he talks about this.
Well, it's bad enough, that's for sure. I mean, that's a loss. I mean, this guy was playing good hockey for us. You know, really, that power forward hockey, with his physicality and, his ability to hang on to pucks in the offensive zone, score some goals and things like that. So it's unfortunate for him and us. I feel for him, with the injuries over the years he's had the last few years. And, he'll grind through it. He's a worker and a very good pro. He'll get back.
Who did he hammer Saturday night in the wall? And I think it was Gooley, maybe?
Yeah.
And Gooley just, like what was that freight train that hit me?
Like UFC fighters who hit him. And doesn't look hard and everyone just goes, oh.
When I see a guy like Pacioretty go and get a freebie on a Montreal Canadian like that and, again, see no response out of anybody to say anything or hit anybody else,
buddy.
I'm like... That's a good night for Toronto, and it's Pacioretty continually pounding on guys and having his way physically. I'm like this guy's valuable now.
Yeah.
He went from someone that we went and rolled our eyes on and saying, is he going to be around after 10 games to like opening up holes? Like
you're in on
Tavares.
That, eh? Like you actually think he's been... meaningful to them?
Oh, buddy,
he's got six straight games, no points.
For a living.
Yeah.
Like, I can identify when a guy goes in there and hits hard.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy hit like a Mack truck.
Yeah.
He just didn't, it's not these bummy checks or, did anyone see me? Did I get credited with a hit there? No, this was like, I'm going in to hurt you.
Right.
And, like...
It's funny, he's the most willing to do that. Not McMahon, not Holmberg.
He brought value. I don't know at his age how long it was going to last or, could he go through the whole season like it?
We got an answer.
Did this...
Exactly 12 games.
Did this somehow tie into just overextending himself?
Yes.
And listen, we got our doctor segment coming up after the break and... that's one of the first kind of questions I'm going to ask him is like when you're physically putting your body through a different kind of toll, can something like that trigger something that maybe breaks down indirectly?
So then the big question is he's playing in the top six. He's playing on one of the two top lines. Who, because you would assume, unless they want to split up Marner and Matthews or whatever, but... they're going to keep Willie and Tavares together. who goes into that spot with those two guys now? Is it a rotating cast? Is it just see who gets going?
You got to give McMahon some chance at some point to be the guy you thought he could be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He needs a chance to just say, hey, here's three games.
Yeah, I think you can start with McMahon, and if not, then you go to Holmberg, you go to Robertson, you rotate them, you move them in and out, see if anybody steps in and steps up.
Or old Max. We didn't have time to get to that, but he's got 10 straight games, no points, you know, playing top six. It's not been ideal.
Anything on Yarncroc you found, a setback for Yarncroc?
Just to answer the – at practice today, there was multiple guys on maintenance day, including Nylander and Domi. So Benning was in the top six today, but McMahon was up there with Tavares, so that means probably that he's going to start on that line, and we'll see how it goes. But, Dewar's maybe back soon. Yeah, Yarncroc is interesting. Let's listen to that clip from the general manager who talked today about Yarncroc's injury.
Yarny's is – it's been slow, and I'd say he had a setback over the weekend, and so we're just going to kind of reset here. And I know he's going to New York to a specialist today or tomorrow to get looked at, and we'll see where this goes from there.
Oof. Sounds like surgery.
Sounds like Robita Island to me.
I don't think he plays again this year. November 11th, yeah. He's got setback, going to see a specialist now.
Groin, hernia thing.
Yeah.
Which is...
not good.
Yeah, not good.
I had a doctor tell me sports hernia is not a thing.
Hernias. All right. What was Mitch Marner's contract? Why is that
funny,
up?
It's a funny clip. Derek, can you play that clip for us?
2 seconds?
It's very funny, yeah.
Any contract thoughts on Mitch?
I've always got lots of thoughts.
Because they say, any talks? And said, I think it was Kevin Grant. McGrann asked, any thoughts on the contract instead of talks?
Lots of thoughts.
Okay, let's take a quick break. When we return, we'll get in a little bit more on a hamstring injury to Max Pacioretty and how long we think he'll be out.
All right.
Dr. Jason Smith, orthopedic surgeon, after the break, and our doctor.
Everything you need to know about the Raptors and the biggest stories around the NBA. Smith and Jones. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. It's the Leaf Edition Hour, the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Okay, out of the OV Surgical and Scarborough Health Network with 20 years around professional sports. Currently the team doctor of the Toronto Blue Jays. And our go-to guy when we pretend to be a doctor and we're not. Doctor? Jason
doctor?
Smith.
There he is. Doctor?
Sammy, go ahead.
Doctor.
He's got the mic off. He's like, yeah, doctor.
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 Smitty, how are you, buddy?
We were way better than last time.
We were.
I know. Okay, let's get right to it, okay? I saw something really goofy. I saw Max Pacioretty get cross-checked in what looked like just a good shove in the back, and then he reaches out to his hamstring. What did you see, and what did the pictures tell us?
Yeah, so that injury is kind of one of those freak injuries where, you know, getting that jolt in the back, all of a sudden he kicks his leg out to kind of stabilize himself, and his hamstring is acting in a way that it normally doesn't act. It's extending as it's contracting to control his balance. So it takes this abnormal force across it, and bang, that's when you see him grabbing his leg.
And go ahead, Kip.
No, just to follow it up, hamstrings are really rare, are they not, in hockey? Is it more of a goaltending thing?
No, we see hamstrings in hockey and in all sports all the time. They're quite common, actually, you know, especially these little grade 1 to 2s, adductors, hamstrings, you know, we see them all the time.
Do they get pulled off the bone ever? Is that the rarity? Like, could he have pulled it right off a bone scenario?
No, the vast majority of time, these are tears within the fascia or within the muscle belly itself. The fibers of the muscle start kind of pulling and tearing. Rarely does it ever pull off the bone. I mean, when it does, that's catastrophic. That's surgery. Mm-hmm. That's 6 months. That's a whole different bag than we see 95% of the time, where it's just tearing within that muscle.
And so in terms of coming back to play for a guy who's, what, 35 years old, something like that, is it something that if you come back too soon, you can make worse? Is this something? How much time are we looking at to get a guy like him back?
Yeah, so, I mean, for sure they've had an MRI. You know, they're calling it a strain, and he's on the IL, the short term. So I think they're thinking grade one, you know, at most. They're thinking this is something he can come back, you know, soon from. So he's 35, though, right? And he came off those two Achilles tendon, mm-hmm. you know, injuries where he had surgery on his other leg. And so over the last 2 years, like, has this guy been working out his legs like he normally would? Like, he's gone through so much, and he's 35. So, of course, they're going to be cautious. You know, they're going to make sure they have this guy for a year, and they want to use him. So they're not going to push him back right away. But you would think a strain, a grade one, a guy like this, you know, a couple weeks, he could be back.
Grade two would be 4 to 6 weeks?
No, it depends. Once you get to grade threes, you know, where the muscle fibers actually start to separate and there starts to be gaps and stuff, yeah, then you're looking at 6 to 8 weeks. But, so, you know, grade one strain, no, a couple weeks.
So you mentioned his surgeries on his Achilles tendon. Like, is it far-fetched to think that the body sometimes overcompensates, or one may have to do with another, or is that just a stretch?
No, absolutely, right? You know, ankle bones connected to the knee bone, connected to the hip bone. Like, it's all part of the whole functional balance of his lower extremities, of his core. So he's rehabbing one. He's dealing with something on one side for a couple of years. No doubt it's having an effect on his ability to train and balance and stabilize himself, those big muscles. He can't work them in the same way. So these are all related. These are all connected, no question.
Doc, I'll turn it to Cal Yarncroc, another Toronto Maple Leaf, who one of the words that they said with his injury was sports hernia. I was talking to our mutual friend, Dr. Carolyn Scott, and she told me a sports hernia is not really a thing. And I was like, what do you mean it's not a thing? Sports? So is a sports hernia not really a thing? Is that right?
No, it's a thing. It's just not a hernia as we think about it. A hernia is like the pushing of your organs through the fascia in your stomach wall.
Awesome. Sounds,
you know,
great.
And that's not what these are. These are little kind of micro tears, little injuries of the abdominal fascia and structures down by your pubis there. So it's more of a strain of the fibers of the muscles in that area, not a traditional hernia where stuff starts poking through. So sports hernia exists, and it's used to describe a group of injuries that aren't like traditional hernias. So gosh, I think that's what she was getting at.
So right. Why is his not getting better, and what's the next step? A type of surgery? What would a surgery do for Yarncroc?
Yeah, you know, in situations where they don't get better, you know, you actually have to go in there and open up that fascia and repair that, you know, in extreme circumstances. But, you know, they're difficult injuries. They present in such weird ways, and some guys get through them and some guys don't. And the vast majority of the time, this is non-surgical. But, you know, if you can't get through it, you got to open it up, throw some sutures in there and get her fixed.
All right, doctor.
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 Sammy. Doctor.
Sammy.
Doctor.
Sammy.
Doctor.
And doctor.
Great
doctor.
Stuff, man. Really appreciate your time under short notice, giving us the goods. Thanks,
anytime,
doc.
Guys.
Yeah, talk to
great
you soon.
To be on.
Thanks.
All right.
Patches.
See, we don't just play one on TV. We actually
could
go
be
get one.
Compensating. Could be compensating.
He's an old guy. Blue hammy.
I'm a hammy. You know what's funny is I was thinking of the tweet while we're doing this segment. It's you. I'm only 35. I have my whole life ahead of me. Sports broadcaster. Here comes the oldest player in the league. He's 32. A miracle.
100%.
You know, it's like we're talking about Pacioretty. Like they're going to roll him out of there in a, you know, on a gurney. He's 35.
It is, though, for a guy that's been through what he's been through in the last year and a half, 2 years with that. Goofy,
oh, those are definite. That's
right?
Extenuating.
And the thing that worries me the most about it with him, it sucks, is that you could tell the way he's playing, he was trusting everything.
Mm-hmm.
He was hammering guys. He was skating hard. He was
getting his cardio up.
He's trusting everything. And now you go, you sit in the shelf for, what, 3-4 weeks? You come back. Are you trusting everything's going
to
not?
You're bagging yourself after practice, trying to get your wind back. And,
It's not going to be. Listen, I'm sure. I'm going to say this breaking news right here. It's not going to be the same when he comes back.
Yeah, I agree with Sam.
Sure. Like, Nick Robertson's really disappointed.
Oh, he's keeping him up at night, for sure.
And I want to know how Nick made that happen. That's what I want to know.
Knock against him because we've all been in that situation.
You're like, oh no, the one guy ahead of me on the power play's hurt. Yes. That's too bad.
Ooh, maybe you got to come to me now.
I'm not sure Nick's ever going to score again. He scored right. He didn't. It was a clear goalie interference. I mean, Bobby McMahon booted the goalie in the face as he was about to shoot in the net.
He blew on him.
Barely. But I thought it was pretty funny that Nick Robertson, in front of me in the net that I was sitting behind, scored the first goal of the game. I'm like,
and looked at you and pointed.
He's
went,
like, it's that guy. It's that guy.
I'm losing a little bit of faith in old Nick.
Me too.
I said preseason 20 goal guy. I said if he went somewhere else, could be a 25 goal guy. I don't know if he's a 12 goal guy.
I don't know. He's a 5 goal guy.
Can he get the opportunity up the lineup? Maybe can we? He's never going to make it work on a checking line.
I think he's going to get a few looks.
In Columbus.
That's down the road, I think.
Yeah.
Wanted to quickly mention, on Friday night, the Red Wings didn't play very well, obviously. Derek Lalonde was with some of the most stunningly bad coaching I've seen in a long time.
Oh.
What did you not like that stood out?
At the end of the game, their Leafs are up 2-1. The Detroit Red Wings have offensive zone time for what must have been a minute and a half with like 2 minutes left in the game. Mm-hmm. They don't get the goalie out.
Yeah.
They don't get the goalie out. It's like, I was sitting with the guys, I'm like, they're not going to get the goalie out? Then they bring the puck.
Got to exercise caution.
And then they bring the puck back into their own zone and the goalie leaves with like the breakout. Like they're breaking it out and he's skating out and then Tavares just picks a pocket, shoots it into an open net. It was unbelievably bad. You have offensive zone time.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it.
I don't know.
God, they're in trouble.
We're going to start hearing Joel Quenneville's name there a little bit more.
I mean, but what's he? Their roster is not very good.
I know.
But, it's a lot of guys that just, I'm like, who is that?
A guy like Joel can come in and he can wear the rest of the season and miss the playoffs off of Lalonde's.
You know what this reminds me of? What you're talking about? Rick Tocchet.
And then have the pressure the following year to make the playoffs.
But there's way more talent in Vancouver than there is in Detroit, in my opinion.
There's some good players.
Yeah.
They got some good players, but they're not
talking about the most out of everyone.
They're not that far off to even Montreal, where are we sure who, like, we know they're talented players. We know that they can.
But what's their ceiling?
They can score, but like.
What's Dylan Larkin's offensive ceiling?
Who's going to. Yeah, exactly. Like,
you know,
who's
Andrew Kopp, Alex DeBrincat.
Who's going to really take this team by the throat
JT
and just
Comfer.
Drag people
Tarasenko.
With
them? Tarasenko.
Who wants Tarasenko Patty
Kane? And Kane, I told you, made no sense to me.
77 red and white. Edvinson? Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. I know he's part of their rebuild. Maybe just a bad night for him on Friday. I don't know. They're just no
6'6 and young is hard.
When you go out there and you watch a team, you're as like expecting. Be like, okay, that's the guy that jumps out to me. That's the guy that jumps out. They just have no, it's a lot of blah.
Mid.
You know what
Mid.
They did? They went out and spent money the second a D-man would look good. They're like, Ben Chiarot had that run to the playoffs in Montreal. Yeah. Get Ben Chiarot. Justin Hall, the rumors are he's pretty good.
Looks good.
He's fine.
Justin Hall looks good?
No, I'm saying
no,
they
I meant like
before they got him.
He did.
Well, the numbers liked him. Jeff Petrie had a couple of years where it was like, oh, Jeff Petrie. So and it was like get him.
3.5-4 hour drive from Detroit.
The scouts
Toronto.
Can't make the trip.
How did you not like know what
Chiarot, Petrie, Hall?
He's in your division. Ugly.
Buddy, I'm not saying it's good. I'm not sitting here saying they did good. Yeah. They did bad.
Bad.
Mid.
Yeah.
Mid.
Thought Patty Kane looked good though. Had a couple moments at the puck where he still looked like Patrick Kane.
Yeah, he moves like them, but
yeah. I mean, the ghost of Patrick Kane, maybe.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyways.
Just like our show today, mid.
Oh.
Are we mid or are we good?
No, we're mid as hell today.
Mid. We're going to get good in the next hour as we go national because we're going to welcome in Kevin Cheveldayoff, general manager of the hottest team in hockey.
I wonder why he agreed to come on.
The hottest start in history. 14-1. Don't go away. We go national next.